Father, we thank you for your kindness and mercies. Thank you for your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit. You're such a great companion and friend. Thank you for helping us so much. As we enter your word tonight, I humble myself under your mighty hand and pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven so that I would speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. I ask the same unction and anointing be put upon the ears and the hearts of all those who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy, Lord God, the power of the Spirit of God to be released in sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy, so I'll be faithful as I deliver the word, doing so with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, Amen. Amen. Well, we're in what the Bible calls the third day. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking obviously, prophetically and symbolically, said, the third day I'll be perfected. It says, today and tomorrow I will cast out devils and do cures, and the third day I'll be perfected. He certainly wasn't speaking of three 24-hour periods of his life. He was talking prophetically about the church. And it's instructive to note that when we understand church history, history is very important. I think it was Papa Ralph who said this many years ago, that history is his story. In other words, it's actually God's story in conjunction with men. The players on the earth change from generation to generation, but the constant there is always God. So the same God that was in the time of Abraham, in the time of Enoch, the same God today. The people are different. We're different now from them, but it's the same God. And he operates on the same principles. And so, the first day, the church was born into the earth about 2,000 years ago. The birth of Christ was about 2,000 years ago, about 4 BC, somewhere in there. And the church was born after his resurrection, AD 33. And if you take the history of the church over 3 days, now, those 3 days are not three 24-hour periods. They're three 1,000-year periods. You know, Bible says one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. So you'll find that in the first day of the church, which was the birth of the church, where the birth of the church happened, that's in the first 1,000 years, which was from about AD 33 to about AD 1,000, you know, truly that's what exactly happened. He was casting out devil and he was doing cures. You know why? The church was born, and then the church backslid into the dark ages, you know, and all that time God was working in the church. And then in the second day, you know, the second 1,000-year period, you know, there was a reformation of the church. Again, we find the same thing, casting out devils and doing cures. That is, you know, the demonic influences in the church. In other words, the first 2 days were God used them to fight, if you like, through the church, the demonic influences that were warring against the church, seeking to keep the church from fulfilling its potential and its full prophetic destiny. And we can, history testifies that all that happened. But Jesus now said, the third day I will be perfected. In other words, the battles of the first 2 days will be consummated in the third day. In other words, total victory will be obtained in the third day. Praise the Lord. And that's where we are now. We are actually in the third day now. From the birth of Christ. You know, he was born about 4 BC. So we're looking at about 1995, 96. And here we are. 24 years later. Praise the Lord. You know, it looks long to you, but on a 1,000-year scale, it's a very small time. And if you're looking at it on the human level, you know, 24 years looks like a long time. But if you look at it from the divine level, on a 1,000-year scale, it's just a very small amount of time. So we're into the third day now. And this purpose of God, that the church be perfected, is being fulfilled as I speak. And that is one of the reasons why we are teaching these lessons. I call them the School of Perfection, using the Lord Jesus Christ as our model, our prototype, our pattern, our example. Now, it's important to understand that when we get born again, you know, we're born again, spiritually speaking now, like little babies, infants. Then we're supposed to grow into little children. And we're supposed to grow into young men, and then ultimately we're supposed to grow into fathers. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ follows exactly the same pattern. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem, and then he grew up as a little child and a young man in Nazareth, and then he inherited what we call the Spirit without measure, and then operated as a spiritual father out of Capernaum, where he began to do. He actually started in Cana of Galilee, but his headquarters was in Capernaum, where he began to do all the miracles we read about. So everything we read about in the four Gospels, you know, happened after he had reached a certain level of spiritual growth and development. And you find exactly the same pattern. We get born again, the life of God is put into our human, into our inner man, you know. But in the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, as well as inside the physical body, there are still remnants of the sin nature, which are in conflict with the divine nature in the spirit. Now, our job as Christians, if we understand it and should understand it, is to use the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to clean out that remnant of the sin nature from the soul and body. Paul says, having therefore these promises, the promise of the Word of God, you know, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all, and the word all there is very important because it tells you that God is not satisfied until all of it is out. All filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, that's that word, perfection, but in the present continuous tense. In other words, it's an ongoing process, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that's exactly what we're doing, you know, teaching it, practicing the principles. And one thing I'm very encouraged about is the fact that God is a God of integrity. And that's why he promised us in his word, he said that he should show unto the heirs of the promise. That's us. You see, we're heirs of Jesus Christ, of Abraham through Jesus Christ. And the promises wasn't made to Abraham. It was made to his seed. And it says that if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, when God spoke to Abraham in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 22, he said to him, he said, because you've done this, when he gave up his son Isaac to be as a sacrifice, even though he didn't kill him, he just wanted to see if he was ready to do it, and there was a legal exchange that was made. God said, in blessing will I bless and multiply will I multiply. Then he said this. He said that your seed will possess the gates of their enemies, number one. Then number two, he says, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in them. Now, that promise wasn't just to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to you and I. And what are our gates? The gates are the physical senses. Eyes, your hair, your hearing, you know. You have five gates of your physical, five physical senses. They're the gates to your soul. Everything you see, you get in your mind, your will, and your emotions come through those gates physically. And so you're supposed to possess those gifts from the enemy. Praise the Lord. And then inherit the spirit without measure. And by inheriting spirit without measure, you now become a channel of blessing to all the nations of the earth. That's what I was teaching the other day when I was talking about finishing well. And David, or it wasn't really David, it was a psalmist. If I check it properly, I think it was Asaph. I'm not sure, you know. But he said, Lord, when I was a young man, I served you and I declared your blessings to my generation, you know, I declared your wonderfuls. He said, now I am old and gray-headed. He said, do not forsake me until I have shown your strength to this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. You can't do that without the spirit without measure. That's the only thing that can show it. If you want to show something, you know, you can show power to two or three people, you know, but when you want to show it to a whole generation, and that's what Abraham, God had at the back of his mind when he was speaking to Abraham. He said, they shall possess the gate of their enemies, and then they shall, in them shall all the nations, when a whole generation sees the power of God, then all nations will be blessed. Hello, somebody. And so, but that promise is so staggering. It's such a, you know, even now, with all the revelation we have, and on the understanding that we have to the glory of God, you know, when we look at our present condition, it still seems so great that, you know, can these things be? Like Mary asked Gabriel, when he said, you know, you will have a son. And she said, wow. You know, he said, how shall these things be? Seeing I know not a man. And he said to her, he said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. You know, it's exactly the same thing with us. How can these things be? How are we going to possess all the gates of our enemies and show the strength of God to our generation and let all the nations of the earth be blessed in me? Wow! Is that possible? And because God knew the greatness of the promise and the tendency of the human heart not to believe it, he now confirmed with an oath. He had given the promise, but God himself knew that when our time comes, it will be very difficult to believe those things. So he did what? He confirmed with an oath. So he not only did he say promise, he said, I have sworn by myself. So, and Paul, recording this in the book of Hebrews, he says that, you know, that by two immutable things, that is things that are unchangeable, that he might show unto us, the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it with an oath, so that we might have a strong consolation. That's old English. A better word today would be encouragement. Would be a strong encouragement and determination to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. It's a great hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if you don't have that promise and the oath as an anchor in your soul, the tendency is not to believe it and to settle for Zohar, settle for something that is very low compared to what God wants us to have, and try and water down the promise and water down what God has said. And that's why we're teaching these classes, so that we keep that hope, we keep that promise, we keep that oath before us, and we are constantly being strengthened and encouraged and built up to lay hold. You must not be satisfied until you lay hold on that hope. That's what it's all about, folks. Yeah, we cannot be, we must not be. Another thing is, the age cannot close without this glory, this manifestation of the sons of God, this company of God's people. God's wish is for it to be everybody, just like God's wish for everybody to go to heaven, but not everybody goes to heaven. God's wish, you know, that same stumbling block has happened to humanity over the years. It's not willing that it should pray, but that all should be saved. All don't get saved. It's God's will that every Christian be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Not everybody believes that. Some people believe the new birth, but they don't go on to believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In exactly the same way, it's God's will for everybody to go into perfection and the glory of God. But again, just like we did with the new birth, and just like people did with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the same thing, some people just won't believe. But there will be a company of people, glory to God. And I believe I'm looking at some of them tonight. Somebody gave me a wave offering without me asking. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Amen. Usually I'm the one who asks you to do it. I like that. That means the word is getting somewhere. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe there'll be a company of people, and I'm looking at some of them tonight, who will lay hold on that hope. They will not die until they have shown the strength of God to their generation. Not in a corner. The entire generation. Hallelujah. And the power of God for the age to come. You know, when you do something that is so great, it will be recorded. When it's recorded, generations to come will read about it. Moses showed God's strength to his generation and his power to those to come, because everything Moses did, we're reading about it today. The same thing with Paul. The same thing with Joshua. All those great guys in the Bible whose histories are written, they showed the power to the age to come. Or rather, they showed the power. They showed the power of God to those who were to come. Because what they did was so great, it was recorded. You know, a lot of people did a lot of things, but not all of it was recorded. Because it was not significant enough. But when you do it to a particular level, it becomes significant enough, the whole, your generation hears about it, and then the generation to come is also hears about it. Everybody knows about Paul. Look at what Paul did at Ephesus. It's recorded. It showed the power of God to the age. And you and I are going to do the same thing. I got news for you. You may not realize this. You should, but you may not realize it. That everything you're doing now is being recorded. You just don't realize it. You don't. It's true. You know, because when we get to the judgment seat of not only of Christ but also the what we call the great white throne judgment, you will see that it's more than one book. It says, and the books were opened. And the book of life. So, of course, we know that one book that will be opened, there will be the Bible. Then, there is the book of life. What are the other books? It's not just one book. Do you understand? And it says, and the people were judged out of the things that were written inside the books. In other words, the things that men did is also being recorded. So, your deeds are being recorded. The Bible has been recorded. The book of life is being recorded. All of them will now be opened. When they're now opened, then you can then do a balanced judgment, because you can now compare what the person did with what is written inside the Bible. And that will now determine their reward and their glory and their resurrection and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear a clap offering for that. I don't know. You should be looking forward to this. And the books were opened. So everything we're doing, you know, when you realize that thing, it makes you, or it should make you, to be very careful, you know, circumspect about how you live and how you behave. You can hide from him, but you can't hide from God. Everything is being recorded. You know, today now we have so close circuit television, and we have there's this new technology now, you know, facial recognition, you know. With social media and computers, you know, and the internet and social media, you know, there's no hiding place anymore. It's not like years ago when there was nothing recorded. Then somebody can just come and lie. You go to your place now and start slapping people around. It's recorded. I didn't mention anybody's name. Hello? It's recorded. You can't deny it. You know, how was it recorded? There was an eye somewhere that was scanning everything. If man can do that, how much more God? Give the Lord a clap offering. From the day you came out of your mother's womb, do you understand? There's been a camera. And it's not only recording what you are doing, it's also recording what you are thinking. The thoughts, everything is being recorded. And a day is coming when you will be played back.
Somebody looked at me. I said, a day is coming when it will be played back. The good news is that some of it will not be played back because it's blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a clap of reward. Thank God there's some of it that will not be played back. Amen. But there's some of it that will be played back. You know, the movie will just be played, and all of a sudden just a blank. Then it starts again and say, ah, God. God has blotted that. Thank God all our sins are blotted out by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says they are put into the sea of forgetfulness. But it deleted. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. But not everything is going to be deleted. Because you will receive in the body whether things that are done, whether good or bad. So they're going to be passed out, are going to be recorded. You know, that's why you should. It's one of the reasons why Jesus said this. He was preaching to some people, you know, in the Gospels, and he said to them, he said, don't be a hypocrite. He said, what you have said in the corner of your room, he said, is going to be proclaimed on the housetop. He wasn't joking. It's true. You know, when they play the movie, everybody's going to see it. It will be proclaimed on the housetop. So, things you don't want to get there, make sure you delete it. Amen. With the blood of Jesus. And then, you know, the Bible says, you know, mercy will triumph over judgment. Replace it with works of mercy and good works. And then that one will now overcome all the bad things. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a great motivation for righteousness. Am I talking to anybody here? And so that's why we're doing all this. We're going to all this trouble so we can grow. We can become like Jesus, inherit just like he did. He grew then, you know, at the age of 30, he inherited the power of the Spirit without measure. And it's only then we start seeing all the things, turning water to wine, walking on water, you know, feeding 5,000, raising the dead, and so on and so forth. And the scriptures, one of the scriptures I meditate upon often, you know, when it comes to me, I just chuckle to myself and say, I tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please help me. You know, he said, if everything Jesus did was to be recorded, he said, the world will not contain the books. In other words, what we just see is just a sample. It's very, you know, a representative sample, thank God. Amen. For those of us who have done statistics, you know, when you take a sample from a population, what you do is you try and take everything that population represents. Okay? In the same way, what we have recorded in the four Gospels is a sample of everything Jesus did, but it's a representation of the greatest things that he did, up to the greatest thing that he did. Amen? And so, now, what will blow your mind is that he said that you will do the same thing and greater. I didn't hear amen. The amen was not us. That's why the guy confirmed with an oath. Because it's so difficult for us, for the natural mind to believe that thing. It's so difficult. Especially in this generation where iniquity is abounding. Can this thing come? Like Mary said, how can this thing be? Well, the good news is that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Amen. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So that holy thing that will be developed in you will be called the Son of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Okay. So we're studying all of this. Now let's... In our last lesson, we stopped in Luke chapter 22, and it was in verse 34. Remember, the Lord Jesus was having what we call the Last Supper with his disciples. We looked at all that in detail about the communion, very important, and how we're supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. At communion, we do communion ceremony. We should do it regularly. At least every month or every quarter or every week. In some places, they do it every week. You know, the frequency, the important thing is that you should do it regularly. Number one. Then number two, you know, even when you do that, in between those ceremonies, you're supposed to keep eating his flesh and drinking his blood through the word by confessing your sins and receiving the life of God. So you eat his flesh and drink. So it's a constant thing. So you can have eternal life and you can live, grow spiritually and become more and more like God. And so he told them all of that, and then he talked about Simon Peter, you know, and he told him, they were quarreling among themselves. He said, don't do that.
the servant is the greatest. Then he said, all of you have thrones. You know, I'm just paraphrasing. You know, he said, all of you are going to sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I said this last time, you know, including Judas. What a shame. He didn't make 11 thrones. He made 12. So there was a throne there for Judas. Sadly, he lost it. You know, and it's a lesson to all of us. You know, the fact that God has predestined you for something or programmed you for something, there are certain conditions you have to fulfill in order for those things to come to pass, even though they are already prepared for you. Praise the Lord. Very, very important. Very, very important. And now, today, we saw that we looked at this also at last time, you know, in verse 34. He said, and I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you deny me thrice. And we saw that, you know, Peter had good intentions, but good intentions not backed by spiritual power will not produce results. I didn't hear you, folks. And a lot of Christians are just like Peter. Oh, God, I will do this. Oh, God, I will do that. He was so vehement. He said, I will follow you, you know, anywhere, even unto death, you know. But Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times before it's dawn, before the cock crows, you know, you deny me. He didn't believe it. And I believe this. He was sincere. Peter was sincere. And I want to say that, and we'll go into that this evening. You know, a lot of Christians are like that. They're sincere. When they tell God, oh God, I will never do this again. Oh God, I promise, I love you with all my heart, I will do this, I will do that. I believe they're very sincere. Then they go out and they fall flat and still do the same thing. The reason is very simple. They did not have the spiritual power to back that sincerity. Sincerity is good. But you must have spiritual power to back it. And Jesus told him the reason later on that night. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. What did they do? They slept. That lack of spiritual power that would have been generated through time of prayer was what caused Peter to fail in spite of his good intentions. The same thing is true today. Many Christians want to do this, they want to do that, they say this to God, they make this vow, they make this decision and all that. But if you don't back it with prayer, and you don't back it with walking in the Spirit, the spiritual power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is not by might, is not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If you don't back it with the power of the Spirit of God, through the avenue of prayer and walking in the Spirit, you will find that many good intentions go unfulfilled. It's a great lesson. And that's one of the reasons why it's recorded in the Bible. And I'll go a step further. I mentioned this the last time, but let me amplify it even more. You know, Jesus said this to Peter. He said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. He said, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, why did that prayer work for Peter? Because he was sincere. God knew his heart, that his heart was right. And he didn't have the power to do it, but his heart was right. So Jesus said, okay, you're going to fall. You know, however, I've prayed for you. And when you are converted, now strengthen your brethren. Now, that's a great lesson there. In other words, what I've done for you, do for your brethren. In other words, when others too fail, you have to help them like I've helped you. Strengthen your brethren. So you fell flat because you didn't have enough power of God to see you through. Now, when others fall flat, you have to strengthen them the way I have strengthened you. And that's what love is all about. I was looking at it in my meditations today. It says, love shall cover a multitude of sins. You know, what means is that when you walk in love towards us and you pray and you are, he says, if any man sees brothers and he shall ask life for them. When you ask, what are you doing? You're covering them. You're giving strength to them that they don't have at that particular point in time. And through that strength, then they're able to come out of that mess that they're in, they're able to change and get better. And you know, that's the immune system God has built inside the body. It's a spiritual immune system. When sin attacks the body, you know, any foreign element, just like the physical body, all your white blood, is it the white blood? Right, yes. The white blood says they attack that thing and get it out. In the same way, when we see a brother fall or a sister or whoever, we're supposed to pray for them, release the power and the life of God so that we can help them to overcome that thing, not kill them. And that's not to say sin will not be judged, it will be, or it will not be chastened. But you know, there's one scripture, it's in the book of Psalms. David said it. He said, "Thou hast chastened me sore, but you did not deliver me unto death." You know, that's true in David's life. God chastened him very severely, but he didn't give him up to death. So, you know, if you sin, you will be chastened. People will pray for you, but you'll be chastened. So avoid sin. "These things write we unto thee, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who's the provision for our sins, but not only for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." In other words, this thing works not only for Christians, it also works for sinners. Praise the Lord. However, you want to stay away from sin, because even though you will be delivered, or you will go to heaven, and you might be dealt with, you will suffer a lot. So you want to avoid that. Praise the Lord. Having said that, you know, So Jesus, you know, he predicted what was going to happen, and he encouraged him, told him, "Look, when you fail, yeah, I'll pray for you, and Satan will not get the upper hand over you." And tells us, I said this also last time, that Judas, that's the difference in Judas and Peter. Jesus prayed for both of them. One person had an open womb and was able to receive the deliverance, the help. The other person had a closed womb and was not able to receive it. It all had to do with the heart. Verse 35. "And he said unto them," I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor, say, "Them who?" "Them apostles." These were 12 minus Judas, you know, that were with him that evening, you know. So he now said this to all of them, you know. He said, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything?" And they said, "Nothing." It's a great message here. "Then said he unto them, But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. He was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end." And they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It is enough." You can preach a whole camp meeting on this. Now, this was the transition between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane. They finished Last Supper. Judas had gone out to go and betray him. Probably finished eating about 8, 9 o'clock, somewhere in there. You know, and they were all moving together. That's when he began to tell Peter about all of these things. And Peter said, "No, I won't do that." He said, "Look, before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny me thrice." Then he goes on. You know, he explains to them a very great spiritual truth. He said, "When I was with you," he said, "did you lack anything?" And then they said, "No." He said, "But now, if you have a purse, hold it. If you have a scrip, hold it. If you don't have a sword, go and sell what you have, or your garment, and buy a sword." Then he explains the reason why. He said, "It is written that I'm going to be numbered among the transgressors." He was quoting, actually, Isaiah 53. And that's why there's a lesson here for all of us. It's important to understand the prophetic scriptures and how they apply to your life at each point in time.
That's one of the reasons why you read your Bible every day. You're not reading your Bible every day for information, you're reading it for revelation. I'm going to repeat that. You're not reading your Bible, everybody say it after me, every day, just for information. You're reading it for revelation. There are aspects of the Bible that apply to your life at that particular point in time. It's one of the reasons why it is a very dangerous thing to miss church on a regular basis. Because God taught me this many years ago, and I've taught it here in church. I've seen now that the whole thing is a system. I come, I pray, Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. And I come and I preach and I teach with, by the grace and mercy of God, an anointing, and I speak and bring revelation knowledge. You pray, and you're supposed to pray incidentally. Don't your neighbor say, the pastor cannot do all your praying for you. The pastor's prayers helps your own prayers, but your prayers must be done. See, there's a synergy here. So you pray, and you too read your Bible. Same Holy Spirit. Hello? So I, by the grace and the mercy of God, I now come, the same Holy Spirit inside me, will now bring out revelation from the Word of God, the same Word of God that you are reading with the same Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will now be showing you something. I will now come and say something, and part of what I'm saying and part of what you're reading will come together like a jigsaw puzzle and make a whole. Now, you don't come to church. You come to church in Jesus' name. Hello? So, you get one part of the jigsaw puzzle. I bring the second part of the jigsaw puzzle, but you're not there to receive it, so you don't get the picture. I don't know if I got across to anybody. Do you see how important it is for you to read the Bible yourself? It is the more, when you read the Bible and you prepare, the more you will gain when you come to church. When you pray and you study the Word, then you come to church, you will gain tremendously when you come to church. When you don't pray and you don't study the Word, you come to church and a lot of things are just going over your head because you don't even have your own part of the jigsaw puzzle, so you don't know which one fits with what God has given you because you never got what God gave you. Hello, somebody. That's why the Apostle Paul, John, he said in one of the first John, he said that you don't need that any man should teach you. He said the same anointing that is inside you teacheth you of all things. Yet the Bible says that God has given teachers in the church. So he's not saying that he's talking about men who are not anointed. Those ones can't teach you anything, spiritually speaking now. But you know, when you have anointed pastors and teachers, they are supposed to coordinate with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is teaching you, I'm teaching you, the same Holy Spirit, and then the whole thing synchronizes together. Do you get it? So, you know, you should make it a habit to make sure you're praying, you're reading your Bible every day, you know, and then you're coming to church too. You cannot get it all by yourself. You need the teachers. But right on the other hand, the teachers need you. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Everybody gains. Praise the Lord. So Jesus knew that night that this part of the scripture was going to be fulfilled. He said, the things that are written concerning me have an end. In other words, if you look at it in some of the modern translations, it just means that they're coming to their time of completion. They're reaching their fulfillment. The New International Version says, it is written, he was numbered with transgressions, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching what? It's a fulfillment. You know, this is so wonderful because it means that he understood is what we call present truth. 12 hours down the road, 14, 15 hours down the road, this thing was going to be, it hadn't been fulfilled yet, but he already knew it was going to be fulfilled. So he was walking in the light of it. He said, it's nearing. It's reaching, it hasn't reached it, but it's going to reach its fulfillment. You know, you and I is the same thing. You know, there are scriptures we're seeing in the Bible now. They haven't been fulfilled, but they're going to reach their fulfillment. I don't know if I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. You know, when I see these scriptures, you know, in the Bible, the latter and the former reign together. The works that you do, shall you do also, and greater works than they. They're going to reach their fulfillment. I'm already walking in them. You and I, we should already be walking in them. You should be able to know that this is where I am now in God. And this is the next thing that's going to happen. And it's going to reach its fulfillment. Hallelujah. Going back to the Lord Jesus, he knew something was going to happen that night. Or rather, the next morning. If this was night, it was going to be the next morning. And what was going to happen was that he was going to die spiritually. He knew that. One of the things that made him shrink at Gethsemane, it wasn't even so much the physical death and the shame. That was part of it, certainly. A big part of it. But he was going to be separated from God. It has never happened in eternity. Even when he became a man and he took off his, you know, divine attributes, he was still in contact with God. The life of God was still in his spirit. But something was going to happen on that cross. On that cross, not only would he die physically, he would die spiritually. The link between him and God, that movie illustration that we show, that connection was going to be cut. It wasn't blocked, so it was cut. That's why he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken him? He wouldn't shout that if God had not forsaken him. Because he became sin. Now, he did not commit sin. He became sin because, you know, he allowed the life of God that was inside him to get out of him through the blood, you know, and so he now died. He who knew no sin was made to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hello, somebody. This is one of the greatest truths in the Bible. And sadly, most Christians don't know this thing. Most Christians only see Jesus' physical suffering and sacrifice on the cross. It's much more than that. It was physical suffering, it couldn't save you. If it was physical alone, how many men down through the history have died physically and suffered for their people, but it's not delivered them from their sin? It cannot be physical alone. The physical was a part of it, but the more important, it wasn't just the physical stripes on his back. It was the fact that he became sin. And that was why he didn't go to heaven. He went to hell. And he didn't go to Abraham's bosom. He went to the hellfire. That's the reason why you and I will not go there. That's why I like that David Ingalls song. He went to hell to take us to heaven. Was condemned to justify us. You know, you need to listen to songs that will give you revelation knowledge. Hello, somebody. You know, but the important point I want to make here is that the spirit, his spirit was cut off, albeit temporarily. It was restored 3 days later. But it was cut off from God so that he could die and go to hell and suffer on our behalf. Watch this. To give God the legal basis to get us born again. Because every single one of us deserves to go to hell. Because of our sin. We should. That's the price. But Jesus paid the price. So by paying the price, he became our substitute so that God now was justified. He said that he might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. I will repeat it. These are the great things that the Apostle Paul penned down in the book of Romans. God was just. In other words, he did the righteous thing. He didn't just overlook your sin. A price was paid for it. Somebody died and suffered for it. So your forgiveness is based on justice. That he might be right, just. And the justice, you know, another time that he might be righteous and the righteousness of him. So not only was he righteous in doing it, when he now gave you eternal life and got you born again, he made you now legally righteous. That's why when Satan comes with accusation, show him the blood. It's symbolic of the sufferings of Christ. I'm not going to heaven on a free pass. Somebody paid the price. Otherwise, what was the use of his suffering? You know, you can imagine what Jesus went through. That's why he shrunk from that thing initially. His flesh, because he was human like you and I. You know, he said, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Because he knew what he was going to go through. And he gave them the initial word here. He said, you know, as is written of me, I will be numbered among the transgressors, and the things concerning me are reaching their fulfillment. Now, to get back to what does that have to do with pus, scrip, and sword? It's a great truth you're about to learn. Jesus' spirit was the generator and the conduit pipe through which all the physical things they were enjoying was being supplied. I'm going to repeat it. Jesus' spirit, go back to Luke 22 now, where he says, you know, he knew he was going to be, the next 3 days were going to be critical. So during those 3 days, there's going to be no supply. So he said, if you have a purse, hold it now. If you have a scrip, hold it. If you don't have a sword, bam, sell something and buy one, because there's not going to be any protection for the next 3 days. There's not going to be any supply, because the supply that they were enjoying all these 3.5 years was coming through Jesus' spirit. You can now appreciate this scripture, and this will help you even concerning the prosperity message. I'm preparing a very powerful prosperity message. Don't your neighbor say, don't miss church. It's called the coming attractions. Praise the Lord. You haven't heard prosperity yet. When I finish this message, God, you will know what prosperity is. Praise the Lord. But let me just, I'm not going to preach it tonight. But Jesus was supplying their need through his spirit. And his spirit was going to be cut off from God from Good Friday afternoon. That's what we call it. Thank God for religion. Amen. Should we call it Bad Saturday? I don't know what they call it. You know, Holy Saturday. You know, up to Sunday. So, throughout that period, there was no power going through Jesus' spirit to which to supply their need. So that's what he was telling them, that I'm going to be dying spirit. He didn't say in those words, I'm giving you what, like Nehemiah chapter 8 says, you know, verse 8 says, I'm giving you the sense that you might understand the reading. He was telling them that I'm going to die on the cross. So I'll be numbered with the transgressors. And when I die on the cross, I'm going to die spiritually. There's going to be a cutoff. My spirit is going to be cut off from God during those 3.5 days. So the power that was supplying all your need. That's why you didn't have a lack before. When I sent you, do you lack anything? They said no. You went and said, well, it was my spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit through my spirit that was supplying everything you have. But during these next few days, while I'm dead, you know, it's not going to happen. So during these 3 days, if you have a purse, hold it. If you have a scrip, hold it. If you want, you know, if you don't have, sell your coat and buy a sword. Because there will be no covering. What a great truth. While the spirit of him is dead. Death of a spirit does not mean cessation of existence. It just means a separation from God. So his spirit was temporarily separated from God during those 3 days and 3 nights in hell. Friday, Saturday, and early hours of Sunday morning. Now, what's the lesson for us here? This is the prosperity message part. Hello? Remember the scripture? I'm going to give you two scriptures. You know, and these scriptures you need to go and meditate upon, and so that you get the spiritual revelation, understand. That's why, by the great help of the Holy Spirit, God helped us to do that little movie that shows you your... Because that's the reality. See, most Christians don't know that's reality. See, when that blood of Jesus, when that red thing comes from Jesus, which is his blood, you know, when you confess your sins, the blood, that's exactly what happens in the realm of the Spirit. It removes all that black thing. When all the black things removed, you know what's called? Righteousness. That's right standing. It means there's nothing blocking the flow of life between you and God. When there is sin, there's unrighteousness. And that's why you need the constant... The only thing that can give you right standing is the blood of Jesus, not your actions. You know why? You're already trapped because you already have sin in your system. The only thing that can set you free, he says, who can say, I have made my heart pure? It's the book of Proverbs. Nobody. You can see the flow. And you can see how the life of God is increasing, is increasing into the spirit man. Up there you can see the soul, and you can see a little bit of the sin nature that is in there. But once that life of God, stop just for a minute. Once the life of God is flowing properly, you understand, the power of God, we're going to add additions to this, you know, the power of God that's come from your spirit will be so strong that the sin nature will not be able to dominate. When the life of God is not sufficient, and it's just, you know, and a lot of the inner man is dark, then you don't have sufficient power to be able to resist sin and temptation. That's what is called carnal Christianity. The Christian still has the life of God in him, but it's just not sufficient. So now, going back to what I'm saying, the Lord Jesus, the supply, two scriptures in Philippians. Have you read this scripture before? He says, and I know that the Lord will do it through the supply of the Spirit of God. Everybody say supply. Say supply. So you need the supply of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in Philippians chapter, thank you, verse 1, verse 19. He said, for I know, I didn't hear you, that this shall turn to my salvation through what? Your prayer and the what? Supply. Everybody shout supply. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The power of the Spirit of God is like fuel. If you have a car and there's something wrong with the carburetor, I don't even know what a carburetor is. Even if you don't know, praise the Lord. You know, it's something that passes the petrol into the engine. You know, if anything happens, you put dirt in it, the car won't start. It will stop because something is affecting the supply. Why are you not prospering? Something is affecting the supply of the Spirit. Let's paraphrase that. The degree to which you prosper depends on the measure of the supply of the Spirit of God into your soul, into your body, and into your circumstances. That is why Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the most favorite scripture in Nigerian Christianity, popularly known as 419. Praise the Lord. My God shall what? Shout that word again. Supply. My God shall what? Supply. All your need. How? According to his riches in glory. By that same Spirit. The Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God will supply, when you talk about riches of glory, you're talking about wisdom. It will supply ability. It will supply favor with men. It will supply the correct alignment of circumstances, physical circumstances, situations, so that the need will be supplied. Now, if anything happens to that supply, through, in our own case, it would be sin, you know, something blocking the flow, or the supply, the measure of the supply drops, is going to affect, to some degree, if not totally, the amount of how well the need is met. That's what Jesus was telling them. So he said, all these days, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? They said, no. He said, but now, because I'm going to die, and there's going to be a cut off of the supply of the Spirit of God into your lives and circumstances, because my Spirit is going to be cut off from God for these 3.5, for these 3 days. If you have a pulse, hold it. If you have a scrip, hold it. If you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. Now, he was explaining the reason why that would happen. You know, what would happen. So he was explaining it to them. And that's why I said, don't. These 3 days, let me say it in another way, in our modern expression, that will make that. Don't his next thing, you just stay under the radar. The protection and everything you know that you normally get, the supply and the protection that you normally get will not be available. That's what he was telling them. It will not be available. And another very important lesson teaches about the vital importance of covering. You see, spiritually, that's what happens with covering. When you have a pastor or a leader who is a praying person, the power of the Spirit of God through their spirit becomes a supply for you. Then it now, watch this, it adds to what you are giving out. And that extra can make the difference in life and death. The extra can make the difference between success and failure. The extra can make the difference in, you know, need or lack. People don't understand these things. You know, they think when you talk about all these things that your people are trying to put you under bondage, and it's not. The reason, the way the system, it was God who created the system like that. Because I'm getting a little bit off my track, but I'll try and stay on track. Because God has so designed the body of Christ. This body of Christ is designed along the same principles as the Godhead. None, watch this. There are three persons in the Godhead. No one person of the Godhead is independent. They are not dependent, they are interdependent. Oh gosh, I'll explain. The Father, it depends on both the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit depends both on the Father and the Son. The Son depends both on the Father and the Holy Spirit. None of them operates independent of all the others. But right on the other hand, no one person can hold the second person to ransom. They are all, that's why we use the word interdependent. Interdependence always comes when you have more than two people. So you find that Jesus, there is no way Jesus could have done what he did on the earth if he didn't have the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven helping him. Not possible. There's no way he couldn't have become a man. There's no way his divine essence could have been stripped of him, you know, during those 33 years. Yeah, because it was kept by the other two persons of the Godhead in trust until the resurrection. I don't know if I'm getting across to anybody. So you find now the body of Christ is designed exactly the same way. We are interdependent. I cannot operate independently. No matter how powerful I am, no matter how strong I am, I am dependent on the rest of the body, and the rest of the body also, people in the rest of the body are also dependent on me as a part of the body. So that's why it says the head cannot say to the eye, I have no need of thee. The eye cannot say to the ear, I have no need of you. You cannot. There is no place for independence in the body of Christ. We are all interdependent. Now, right on the other hand, no one person can hold another person to ransom. Because there will always be other people that God can use. Are you listening to me? What does it do? It forces everybody want to be humble. And to walk in love towards each other. Because I can't do it. I can't. There's certain things I just can't do without the help of other people. However much I pray, however much I know, I'm still going to need, there's still going to be something that's going to come from the rest of the body. Give me Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. Great scripture. Thank God. Everybody give the Apostle Paul another clap offering. You know, what will we do? You know, if this scripture was not in the Bible, this part of knowledge will not be there. And it's so vital. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for everything from Romans to Hebrews. It's called the Pauline Revelation. Wow, what will we do without Paul? Now, not holding the head. I didn't hear you. Everybody, turn to everybody and say, who is the head? Say, the Lord Jesus Christ. From which all the body, by what? Joints and bands. Everybody say joints. Turn to your neighbor, say that's plural. And bands, say that's plural. Having nourishment ministered, what? Knit together, increased with the increase of God. How many want to increase with the increase of God? I've got good news for you if you're a humble person, and bad news for you if you're a proud person. Keep your finger, keep your hand up and keep waving it to me. I'll tell you when to put it down. How many want the increase of God? You need the head and the body. You can't have the head alone. You know why? A lot of what the head gives you comes through the joints and the bands. And the joints and the bands are in the body. The head designed it that way. So you can't go to the head and say, give it to me directly. I don't want to have anything with them. Say, sorry, that's the way we are made. It's a supply chain. It's a supply chain. There's nothing you can do. The Lord himself, that's the way we were created. That's the way we were made. We are made as a part of the body of Christ. It's an organic spiritual organism. You know, you can do about it. Yes, the head from which all the body, by what? Joints and bands. So I cannot do without the joints, and I cannot do without the bands, and I cannot do without the head. I need the head, everybody. I need the head. I need the joints, and I need the bands. At the time Jesus was on the earth, let's get back to Luke now. The body of Christ didn't exist. It was going to come into being on Easter Sunday and on the day of Pentecost. Okay? So there was only one body, Jesus. At that time, let's go back now to Luke. At that time, when he was that on the Last Supper, that evening, you know, after the Last Supper, on their way to Gethsemane, as he was talking to them, he was the body of Christ. There was no other member. He was the only channel. So at that time, the joint, the band, the head were all one. So if anything happened to Jesus, all the supply, that's what he was telling them. So he said to them, if you have a sword, hold it. If you have a purse, hold it. If you have a script, hold it. Because during these next few days, I'm going to be cut off and you guys are not going to have any supply. Fast forward to today. Today we have the head, we have the joints, and we have the bands. All right? Thank God for that. You know, but every single one of us must understand our interconnectivity. That is why things like unforgiveness get you in trouble. It's blocking your supply chain. It's blocking a joint. What's a joint? A joint is the connection between two members. And you are fighting with your brother, you don't greet them. You just blocked a supply chain. Lord, have mercy. Then you have a wrong attitude towards your pastor. Or somebody in authority, like the guys at Nazareth. The Bible says he could there do no mighty works. Because of their unbelief, their attitude blocked the supply chain. You cannot understand why prosperity is not working as it should. And why many people, they have need, they're not being supplied according to his riches and glory. Then when that fails, they now go to the witch at Endor. Now, they won't literally go to a witch. I call it passive witchcraft. When the divine supply system is failing them because of wrong attitudes, pride, prayerlessness, and all of that, and they see that this is not working, then they go and look for an alternative. When they go and look for an alternative, Satan will now, he will indulge them. But he will not be God anymore. He went very quiet. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. It's the truth. It's for years I meditated on these things. And And that's why you see that kind of prosperity does not. He said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. It means there is another blessing that is not of the Lord. Otherwise, he won't say that. Ah! Why would he say the blessing? It means that there is a blessing that is not of the Lord. Not only that, that kind of prosperity always does, it does not come with the prosperity of the soul. So you now see somebody that is having a lot of material prosperity, but his soul is not prospering. An enemy has done this. He has bypassed the supply system of the body. And he's getting his supply from somewhere else. It's still spiritual. Because Satan can supply. It's in Psalm 73. It says, the ungodly that prosper in the world. The scriptures are full of it. It's all over the Bible. You know, hey, don't forget that Satan was the anointed cherub that covereth. Summing up the sum of wisdom. So he has wisdom. I told you about one great mathematician and scientist from India in the 1920s that wrote, this is a true story. I read it, you know, in one of my physics books, you know, by one of the professors in physics, you know, and of course I knew it was true. Then I Googled it and I checked it out and I found out it was true. This guy, he was born in India to a very poor family. They couldn't send him to school. They couldn't send him to university and all of that. You know, he did basic secondary school, but he was very gifted in mathematics. Very, very gifted. So he would, he was working in a post office. You know, like a clerk. So in his spare time, he'd be writing down wonderful mathematics equations, you know, number theory. Great things. But he couldn't go to university. So, over the years, you know, he would write those things down. Then he would be telling his friends, you know, and the people. He says that when he sleeps at night, this is a true story. When he sleeps at night, one Indian god, you know these ones that have six hands? You know, I don't remember the name, but one of them anyway. You know, they have many. Praise the Lord. You know, so one of these things will appear and he will be telling him the mathematics. He said, that's how he used to get, he said, so he, it's inside, it's, this is recorded. You know, that he got a lot of inspiration. He said that God will appear to him at the night and then tell him those mathematical equations. Then he will write them down. To cut a long story short, after about Oh, I got to close. After some years, he felt, you know, he felt impressed to send the mathematics or some of the things he'd written, put them in a notebook, and he sent them to a professor of mathematics in Cambridge. It's a true story. When the professor, this was an unknown person in India, they didn't know him, he was just, you know, but the professor was an honest person. So when he opened the thing, and he began to read what this boy had written, he said, even us here in Cambridge, there are some things this boy is saying that is far ahead of us. So the man did a good thing. He sent him a scholarship and brought him to Cambridge. It's a true story. So the guy now came to Cambridge, you know, and he was there for, I don't remember how many years, about 3 or 4 years. They said the kind of mathematics that came out of this guy, they hadn't seen anything like it. This, I think the mathematician who helped him was a guy called Professor Hardy, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember the exact name, but it doesn't matter. The important thing was this man said that this man, the mathematics, this guy, some of his work is still being used today in string theory. That was how I got to read about it, because I was reading string theory. Then they said there's this part of mathematics, you know, that was formulated by this Indian guy, you know, and it was so, and this man was grading him. He said that Professor Hardy, if that's his name, he said that if he would grade himself, and he was one of the top mathematicians in Cambridge at that time, I'm talking about the 1920s, you know, he would grade himself on a scale of 10, he would grade himself 6 or 5. He said he graded that guy 9, 10. Unfortunately, or sadly, and regrettably, he got sick. You know, got some kind of, it was only 30, it was not up to 40. You know, he was sick, you know, and they had to take him back to, that's when they didn't have airplanes, they had to go by ship. They had to take him back to India, and then he died in India. I said all that to say this, Satan can give you stuff. And he can give you good stuff. Scripture. Bow before me. He said he showed him. It's not a lie. It's a truth. He showed him all the riches and the glory of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That shows it was in his thoughts. And then he said to him, he said, bow before me. He said, and I will give you all these, watch this, riches. And the glory, if only you will bow to me. The very thing Jesus came from, that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. But he wanted to give it to him without the cross. And he will give it to any Christian in the same way. If you don't want to pay the price of prayer, of walking in the Spirit, of humility, of submission, and you go to Satan, even if you don't go directly, you go passively, by default, he will give it to you. That's where some people are getting their wisdom. That's where they're getting their riches from. How do you know? Check the fruit. Just check the fruit. If it's God, the fruit will be there. Must prosper even as your soul prosper. Soul doesn't prosper, it's not of God. Let's pray. Let's talk to God tonight. Supply! Hallelujah. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Spiritual things control every physical thing. So our physical prosperity is intricately tied to our spiritual prosperity. And that's the lesson Jesus was teaching them here. Look, you boys, tonight I'm going to die. Once my spirit gets cut off, your supply during this short period of time will be cut off. It was restored back, thank God, on resurrection morning. Glory to God. Are you listening? But during that time, that's why he told them, if you have a purse, hold it. If you have a sword, hold it. If you have a scrip, hold it. The lesson there for us is this. You want to prosper materially? You want to keep your spirit clean. Keep it pure, because that's the channel through which the supply is coming. And don't take a shortcut. You will open up to another spirit that is not of God. And he too can supply. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God tonight. This scripture keeps coming back to me. And it's the truth. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the forces of life. That's it. The supply, the material supply, the wisdom, the favor, the ability, all the things you need to prosper, to supply your need. It's coming through by the Spirit of God, through your spirit. The supply of the Spirit. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, help me. Help me, help me. Help me keep my heart clean. Keep my heart open. Like, so connected to the head and also to the body by joints and bands. Joints and bands. So I need my brethren. I need men. I need other Christians. That's why, not forsaking us, assembling of ourselves together. When you go, good morning, Jesus, good morning, you're connected by joints and bands. There's a supply there. Everybody is necessary and important in their place. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar.
I don't want to worship from afar.
Draw me near.
Draw me near to where you are.
I just want to be.
I just want to be where you are.
Dwelling daily in your presence.
Lord, dwelling daily in your presence.
I don't want to worship from afar.
I don't want to worship from afar.
Lean into where you are. I want to be.
Lord, I want to be where you are.
Dwelling in your presence.
Dwelling in your presence.
Feasting at your table.
Lord, feasting at your table.
Surrounded by your glory. Want to be.
surrounded by your glory. In your presence, glory to God.
Your heart, raise your other hand to God.
Just want to be.
I just want to be with you.
I don't want to worship
from afar. Draw me
to where. I wanna be where you are.
It's a great song. It's a great prayer.
Dwelling in your presence.
Feasting at your table, Lord.
Feasting at your table.
Surrounded by your glory.
Surrounded by your glory.
In your presence.
In your presence.
That's where I always wanna be. Raise that hand. We're going to pray in a minute as we were singing this revelation. Light came to my mind from the Lord, from the word we've just preached, but I didn't see it in this way. It was the song that we were singing that brought this light. So long as Jesus was with them, they were always with him, the 12, the 70. So long as they were with him, connected to him in his presence, every need was met. But once the supply was cut, once they were no longer in his presence, once they were watching from afar, the Bible says Peter followed him from afar. The supply went down. But the good news is today, we're going to use it as the base of our prayer. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You don't ever have to be in a place where you are far away. You don't ever now have to be in a place where you're not in his presence. Even if you sin, and I'm not saying you should go and sin, I write unto you that you sin not. But good news, if any man sin, we have an advocate. Clean it quickly and restore that presence. Don't allow yourself to live anywhere outside the presence of God. Do not worship from afar. Go to where he is. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, reminding me, enlightening me, admonishing me, instructing me that I need to stay close to the supply of the power of the Holy Spirit. Through my spirit being joined to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the body of Christ by joints and bands. Father, 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 have mercy on me. Help me see, help me understand that I am interdependent on the rest of the body of Christ and on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help me to keep my heart, my attitude with all diligence so that nothing will hinder the flow and the supply of your spirit to meet my every need, spiritual, in my mind,
in my will, in my emotions, in my body, in my circumstances, in my finances, in everything of my life. Oh God, I understand better that you supply. You are the one that supplies all of my needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus, through the head, the joints, and the bands. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Nika tolomasha. Lord, have mercy on us. Celebrate to Lomoshala. Lembaraka tofre. Lombraka kama tolomatofre do frishi. Lombriki tofres. Lombriki kama tolomatofre sha. Jiki tofre kama tolomatofre do frishi. Sofre. Lombraka kama tolomatofre sha. Lombraka kama tolomatofre. Lombriki kama tolomatofre do frishi. Tok kama tolomatofre do frishi. Zekakakum, Tofredes, Jiki Tofres, Dongala Keshakaros, Tofridias, Nofridilingires, Dufridias, Tolomashala Kakar Tofre, Lombridili Meshoko, Tolomatofres, Tolomatofridis, Tolomatofres, Tofredesco, Tolomato Osha Antusco Fresk, in Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name we have life. Father, give life to our spirits now.